We've been lucky to have Jeff Diamond laying out the course of the Viking season, the probable course of the Viking season. We've been telling you about how we thought things were going to progress. Now we're at a point where things are actually going to happen. And hey, this is disinformation season. This is the show where you get to listen to an expert explain to you what is realistic and what is not. We are going to talk about Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Danielle Hunter, the Vikings offseason in general. We're also going to talk about Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Russell Wilson, everything else going on around the league. Let's start here today, Jeff. Have any of the rumors or developments in the last month changed your mind about what might happen with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I think it's really an interesting situation right now, and there are a lot of rumblings around that Cousins could be headed out of here. I'm not buying that at this point. I just don't see Kirk wanting to uproot his family, go learn a new scheme in Atlanta or wherever it might be, Pittsburgh, whatever places they've talked about, Las Vegas, who knows, and have to adjust to new players, even if he's got some pretty good talent in Atlanta with guys like Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. But I think as long as the Vikings put out a competitive offer, and what we've talked about before is guaranteeing 2 years at $90 million and maybe giving him a three-year deal that kind of builds up the gross value. Maybe it's something like 3 years, $140 million, which is $46.66 a year, something like that. But the first 2 years are the important years at around $90 million. I think that he would do that deal, but who knows? Kirk has been a master, and his agent have been masters at the free agency system. And so it was interesting. He had a video of a workout and dancing at the Super Bowl. So he's done a lot of stuff to put the mindset out there that he's going to be healthy and ready to roll, if not in OTA, certainly by June minicamps. And so I think this is the big week, because by Monday, with no franchise tag available for he or Danielle Hunter, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has to get those deals done by next Monday. Because if those guys hit the market, I think there's a good chance they're gone, even though we've seen in the past where guys have hit the market and come back like Anthony Barr. But it's very dangerous when you get to that point. And the reality is, as we know, Jim, the tampering really starts at the combine last week. And McCartney, Kirk's agent, was certainly getting feelers from out to teams and seeing who was really interested and what the parameters might be, what Atlanta might be thinking about. Are they more focused on trading for Justin Fields or perhaps going into the draft? So it's certainly there are a lot of kind of hills to climb at this point to really get the true understanding of what's happening. But I think, as I said, if the Vikings put out a competitive offer on both of these guys, and for Hunter, again, it's going to take in the mid-20s to possibly even upper 20s million a year to get him done. And I think Danielle may be a little more of a mindset to hit the market. But again, if his agent was doing their job and at the combine and checking things out, then they should know what the market is right now and what the interest levels are for these players. So it's going to be a really fascinating week. I still think there's a very good chance both those guys get re-signed, especially with the extra salary cap money that we talked about last week. They had extra $30.6 million compared to last year. But it's going to take a lot of work this week for the Vikings to get this done with Kirk Cousins. But I'll still say they're in better shape than the Cowboys are with Dak Prescott, who's got a $59 million cap hit. And the Cowboys are under extreme pressure to get that thing extended. And then we know the disaster has happened in Denver with Russell Wilson. So, but I think that Kirk can get done, and I think he can get done with a deal. And I'll tell you about it in just a sec.
All right. Well, let's get more into that, what we think could or would happen with Cousins, and more into Atlanta as a free agent threat here. We want to let you know this is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Jeff, former Vikings general manager, former president of the Tennessee Titans, working in all kinds of fields now, agency with an agency, media, writing, doing public speaking. We are brought to you by Aquarius Home Services Studio. And we want to thank our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. If you like the show, we recommend subscribing to it at your favorite podcast app. That is free, and it's the easiest way to listen. Also recommend checking out the Viking Update show on our network. And we've got the best sports lineup in town between Jeff, Michael Russo, John Krasinski, Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, John Millay. The list goes on and on. We have outdoor content as well and variety content. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. So I do find Atlanta a fascinating alternative because they're so, the Falcons are so different than the Vikings. They haven't had success as recently. They don't have a true superstar number one receiver like Justin Jefferson. They don't really have a number two receiver as good as Jordan Addison. They have talented tight ends, but not tight ends who've been as productive as TJ Hockenson. They have a defensive-minded head coach. He'd be learning another new system, and he was playing maybe his career best level before he was hurt this last year in this offense. So I fully understand them using Atlanta as a threat to drive negotiations. I don't think, let me go this way, if Kirk Cousins decides to go to Atlanta, I think he's making a mistake.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I do think the offensive system they're going to run is pretty similar to the Vikings system with their new coordinator and so forth. But even still, you're talking about, as you said, a defensive head coach in Raheem Morris. You're talking about not having quite the talent level, even though their offensive line may be better.
Yeah.
Atlanta's put a lot of money into that offensive line. But even still, as we said, I think there's much more familiarity here. Kirk is a guy about structure, about consistency, and the fact that he finally had the same offensive coordinator, more or less, in O'Connell and Wes Phillips the last 2 years now. And now he can go into a third season coming off the injury, but having had success. It just makes sense. The other kind of wild card in the thing is that Cousins' wife, Julie, is from the Atlanta area. But even still, he spends time there in the offseason. That's all well and good. He can do that after his career is over. I think that it makes the most sense for him to return here, unless all of a sudden Kwesi is thinking, I've had enough of this deal, and if I put more money into this deal, I'm going to put more dead money into the deal potentially a year or two down the road if I draft a quarterback in the first round. But there's no guarantees they're going to get a J.J. McCarthy at number 11 because he's getting a lot of buzz post-combine. And is Michael Penix going to be there in the second round? And do they even like him well enough with his injury history? So there just are so many variables in this thing. I think for this team to remain at a playoff competitive level, which I think they will be with a healthy Cousins, they need to get him re-signed. And I do think they need to re-sign Danielle Hunter. I think they've got the wherewithal to do it cap-wise. And even though Danielle has had some contract issues here, I think he's still happy here. He likes Brian Flores, how he utilized him. He had his best year under Flores last year. And so they both make sense to get done. And then they can focus on getting Jefferson signed, getting his cap number down this year from the $19.7 million, which is very doable, and kind of go from there. And they know what it's going to take to get that deal done. It's going to be north of $30 million a year. Mike Evans just signed for $26 million a year, and he's, whatever, 30, 31 years old. So they know what they need to do on all three of these guys. But if Cousins leaves, I think it's because the Vikings decided that they wanted to go the rookie quarterback route. And I think the Vikings control this situation if they want to.
I'm interested in this from your perspective as a general manager and knowing how quickly NFL franchises can turn over everything, fire everybody, start over in this modern age. Do you think Kwesi and O'Connell have more job security if they keep Cousins or if they start over with a rookie? Does bringing in a rookie quarterback as your starter, does that extend your window in which you get to prove yourself, or does it put you on the clock?
I think it makes it more difficult because I think there's more uncertainty there, and there's more of a chance to have a losing season in that regard when you're starting a rookie quarterback, because there's going to be that learning curve for that player, no matter who they are, and so I just think when you look at Cousins' deal And he's still going to cost them $28.5 million of dead money if he leaves. Mm-hmm. So you can do a new deal and basically have the same cap hit by giving him, like I said, a three-year deal for $140 million. You give him a $30 million signing bonus spread over 3 years. That's $10 million a year that hits the cap. Plus, he's got $10.25 million of cap carryover from his last deal that voided. And then you give him a $10 million base, which is the same base that he had last year. And you come up with basically a $30 million cap number, which is basically the same as if he leaves. So it just makes a lot of sense to get it done. The danger is if you do that deal and you draft a quarterback in the first or second round and you think they're ready to take over next year, then you're going to have a big dead money hit of probably, I don't know, somewhere in a $60 million range compared to the $28 million range this year. So it's going to increase your certainly the potential cap hit down the road. But if he stays for 2 years, then all of a sudden that comes down, the cap hit. If he leaves in 2026, when theoretically the new player is ready to go. And so at that point, you probably have that same type of $30 million cap hit that you would have had. And that you can absorb because by then the cap will have increased even more. So it just all kind of makes sense to me that it's a doable deal unless they're ready to move on.
Right. And let's say
if Kirk's ready to move on, which I don't really think he is.
Right. Everything to me points to him re-signing here. Here's the question. The next question, if they sign Cousins to the kind of deal you've described, 2 years, $90 plus million with some voidable years after that, does that alter their view of quarterback prospects? In other words, do they try to get somebody who's still very, they think, ready for the NFL? Or does it mean that they can draft somebody they think is more of a project who might take a couple of years to get ready?
Yeah, I think in that regard, I think J.J. McCarthy is perfect from the standpoint he's only 20 years old. He didn't throw the ball a lot at Michigan, but he certainly has showed his athleticism and his ability. And then you groom him for a year or two under O'Connell, a la Jordan Love in Green Bay, which has worked out pretty well for Green Bay. It's like the blueprint is there right next door to follow in this situation. And you've also got a talented guy in case Cousins were to get hurt again, which I would say is kind of unlikely given his history that he really only had one major injury. It's certainly possible, but the hope would be that he stays healthy and that he doesn't get re-injured down the road. So, yeah, I think in this scenario, I think you can take a guy that can be developed as opposed to maybe a Michael Penix who he's 24 years old. Not that that's old for a quarterback because they can play until their late 30s, but just the fact of the matter, I think McCarthy is a guy that's kind of perfect. But again, he's getting a lot of buzz post-combine, and partially because so many of the other quarterbacks didn't work out, the top guys, talking about Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels.
All right, well, let's get into what happened at the combine, how it might affect NFL thinking and Vikings thinking. Right now, though, we want to let you know we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio, and we want to thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. The White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, with my longtime friend, owner Paul Rubin, general manager Charlie Guttrell, and their fantastic staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, and you will see spring deals, early spring, 1.9% APR for 36 months, plus a $750 purchase allowance and an additional $2,500 trade assistance on 2023 and 2024 GMC Sierra 1500s, 0.9% APR and $2,750 purchase allowance, plus a $750 additional purchase allowance on 2023 Buick Envisions, 0.9% APR and $1,500 purchase allowance on 2024 GMC Terrains, plus no monthly payments for 90 days on all these great vehicles. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And if anybody out there has a business they'd like to advertise with on this network or on this show, you can reach our sales executive, Karen Cleary, K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at talknorth.com. So what did happen at the combine that actually mattered?
Well, I think what mattered, as we've talked before, the interviews and the physicals are what mattered. And a lot of players certainly improved their stock. And we were happy at IFA that we had some of our guys do very well at the combine. But the unfortunate thing, and it's getting worse every year with these top players not working out at the combine. And it's gotten even to the extent that, for example, Caleb Williams even refused to take the physicals. So he showed up, I guess, to do some interviews with teams and to do a media session. And that was about it. And comes off very arrogant, saying, why do I need to do these physicals when all the 32 teams aren't going to draft me and I'll do physicals where I pick and choose? Well, the fallacy for him where he's going to regret that is he's going to go do all these team visits for maybe four or five teams he chooses, and he's going to have to do four or five physicals instead of getting it all done once at the combine. So he just made it harder on himself, not to mention irritating the teams, the GMs and the scouts and the coaches and the team doctors and athletic trainers who are there to do that work. And he doesn't do it. And even worse, Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't even show up at the combine and says he's not going to even show up at his pro day. So I don't know what his strategy is. I think it's crazy thinking on his part. And certainly his dad, Marvin Harrison Sr., should know better. And the agents should know better to talk some sense into Marvin Harrison Jr. To not do any of the pre-draft stuff is just, I think, insane. And all that's going to do is open the door for a Malik Nabers of LSU to surpass him potentially in the draft. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I do think Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in the draft, but why do you want to open up yourself to questions? Why do you want teams to think, and I would think that this is a GM, what is he hiding? Why is he not showing up? Does he have some injury that he's trying to make us not find out about? And so with both Williams and Harrison Jr., I just think there's really bad decision-making on their part. And as I said, just sets themselves up to be questioned by these teams. It just doesn't make sense unless there's some other reason that they're doing it, as I said, to maybe hide something.
All right, let's talk about, I hate to use these two words in conjunction, but Herschel Walker. We all know what happened with the Herschel Walker trade and the Vikings. Is the Russell Wilson deal, made by a former Vikings executive, by the way, is that as bad as the Herschel Walker deal, the deal what the Broncos gave up to get Russell Wilson, who they just released?
I think it's worse, Jim.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about giving up so many high draft picks and a couple of number ones and three players. And on top of that, you've got the contract that they gave him, which was the $242.6 million 5-year deal, plus two first-round picks, plus three other draft picks, plus three players to the Seahawks. And Wilson goes 11-19 as a 2-year starter, doesn't mesh with Sean Payton at all, and now they're going to release him. And they have to pay him $39 million this year. Certainly when the situation happened for us with Herschel, he wasn't making anywhere near that kind of money. And there wasn't dead money to the extent that there isn't nowadays. And he's got a dead money hit of $85 million that I presume they're going to spread over 2 years, which is a league record. So what a disaster. I would call that the worst deal in NFL history, and maybe in any sports history, in terms of money expended on a player that's no longer there. Maybe there have been some pitchers in baseball who, because of arm trouble, were paid a ton of money. But it's just, and we know Trout was paid a lot of money, hasn't played at that level. since the contract that he got with the Angels. But even still, this is just, I think, an awful, awful deal for the Denver Broncos and puts them in a bad situation. But in a weird sort of way, it kind of, I think, could help the Vikings in the Cousins situation. And the reason I say that, because it puts another quality, and I'll still call Russell Wilson a quality veteran quarterback if he's in the right system with the right supporting cast. I still think he's a quality player. He's not at the level he was in Seattle as a Super Bowl quarterback, perhaps, but I think he's still a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. And so he's going to be on the market. And it also means a team like Denver won't go after Cousins because they are already paying so much to Wilson. They need a cheaper quarterback. But I think the point is it's another veteran quarterback on the market in free agency potentially. And I think that helps the Vikings in Cousins' derby to get him signed.
I agree with you completely. All right, let's one more big topic for today. Once again, thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. Remember to subscribe to the show at your favorite podcast app. And also remember to check out the Viking Update show for a writer's view of the Vikings with myself and John Krasinski. We've both been covering the Vikings for a long time. To wrap up today's show, I'm interested in this because you worked in front office forever and you've also worked in the media. When you watch like a morning ESPN show and they start talking about NFL rumors and maybe Cousins going to Atlanta, how much of it do you believe? And are there certain people you believe and certain others you don't? How do you vet the information you see on our TV screens every day?
Yeah, I think that you have to really take it all as rumor and hearsay at this point in time, that there's really nothing definitive where you can say that Atlanta is definitely interested in Cousins versus Justin Fields versus drafting a rookie quarterback. And because things happen unforeseen every year in the NFL, where all of a sudden there's a signing of a guy or a trade of a player, and a Devontae Adams goes to the Raiders or whatever could happen. And so, yeah, I think the rumors Justin Jefferson is going to get traded. There's no way that was ever going to happen when the Vikings have the best receiver in the NFL and they've got him under team control for two more years. So, yeah, I don't take any of that as gospel until we get to next Monday. And then you start hearing things that really are going to happen.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And as we said before, I think one of the things that is really interesting this week is that Dak Prescott situation in Dallas, because he's got that $59 million cap number that they've got to reduce. He's going into the last year of his contract. They had done a couple restructures, and that's where these restructures get you in a little bit of trouble down the road, such as if the Vikings do that with Cousins and did that with Cousins the last couple of years, which is why they've got that $28.5 million dead money hit hanging over them. Well, for Dallas, with Dak having that $59 million cap number, and yet he's coming off a playoff game where he played bad in the first half, threw a couple picks, and the Cowboys were down 27-0, get beat at home by the Packers in the first round. And so Dak has a 2-5 postseason record, but yet his regular season record is something like 73-41. But he's got the Cowboys over a barrel here. And so he says, yeah, there's a great chance we're going to get this done, get it re-signed. Jerry Jones says, we don't have to do this deal. Well, he does have to do this deal. And so I think that's going to be something to really keep an eye on this week, along with in the next day or so, the remaining franchise tags that get put on guys like Josh Allen in Jacksonville, Brian Burns in Carolina, Madubuike in Baltimore, Antoine Winfield Jr., the ex-Gopher in Tampa Bay. But the Prescott deal, Dallas has got to get that done to get his cap number down, which they can do, but they're going to have to give him probably a $50 million plus a year deal for a guy that had a great regular season last year. He was second ranked in the league in passer rating and led the league in TD passes. But then he had that playoff dud. And it really puts the Cowboys in a tough spot.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, good stuff from Jeff as always. I'm out of town early next week. We're going to catch up on all the free agent action late next week and get another show out to you and then get back to our just normal regular schedule here. So thanks to Jeff. Thanks to our producers at TalkNorth.com. Thanks again to White Bear Lake Superstore and Aquarius Home Services. And we'll talk to you next week, which will be very interesting.